Welcome back to Through the Word. Today we'll be in Psalm chapter 54. Life hurts. People are pains. You know this, and I know this. And so did David. Like us, this psalm has a history, proving these things to be true. And there's a bit of a backstory in the title. For the director of music with stringed instruments, a masked skill of David. When the Ziphites had gone to Saul and said, "Is not David hiding among us?" And the backstory to this psalm is that David is on the run from Saul, the king of Israel, who was threatened by David. David hadn't done anything against Saul. He hadn't betrayed him. He hadn't challenged him. Not once. David's greatest crime was that God kept favoring him. And that burned Saul up on the inside. But a dead David couldn't be king. In fact, he couldn't be a threat at all. 1 Samuel 23 recounts the events surrounding this psalm. Saul chases David down with the intention of killing him, forcing David to hide. And that brings us back to the psalm. When the Ziphites had gone to Saul and said, "Is not David hiding among us?" Ziph was the southernmost part of Judah, as south as you could go and yet still be in the kingdom. And there, waiting for Saul's posse to come down on his head, David holes up deep in the woods, waiting. In total darkness and desperation, David prays in verse 1, "Save me, O God, by your name. Vindicate me by your might. Hear my prayer, O God. Listen to the words of my mouth. Arrogant foes are attacking me. Ruthless people are trying to kill me. People without regard for God." There are just 7 short verses in this psalm, and the first 3 here are David's complaint to God. You know, in some situations, you need to pour out your heart to God, because when no one else will listen, God always will. That's why verse 2 says, "Hear my prayer, O God. Listen to the words of my mouth." At this stage, David couldn't talk to anyone. He had to be silent. He had to slip into the shadows. Should they find him, there will be no mercy. And David knows that they are people without regard for God. If he's discovered, there will be no bargaining with them or appealing to their better selves, because they don't have any. These men mean murder, and that hurts. Not only has David served his king faithfully, but that king has turned on him. His own people have turned on him too. The very people that David fought to protect, his fellow soldiers. Now, he is the assignment: hunt and kill, seek and destroy. David knows he can't fight his way out of this one. All he can do is wait. And that's hard for a man of action like David is. It's difficult to simply wait and allow God to be our rescuer. But I'd rather do something to help my own situation. But David has the discipline to wait. So he asks, "Save me, O God, by your name. Vindicate me by your might." Have you ever felt the need to be vindicated? People accusing you of doing something you know you didn't do. You try to argue your way out of it. You try to convince people. You try to clear your name, but all of no use. It's God's name here that David's depending on now. His reputation is in tatters. "Save me, O God, by your name." And that's where David turns next in a psalm, from a complaint in verses 1 through 3, to confidence in verses 4 through 5. Confidence in God himself. "Surely God is my help. The Lord is the one who sustains me. On those who slander me, in your faithfulness, destroy them." God is my help. David had nobody else. Like the old saying goes, sometimes God isn't the only thing you need until he's the only thing you have. The Lord is the one who sustains me. You can hear David's loneliness here. The only place that David feels love right now is from God. God sustains David mentally, emotionally, and even physically. David keeps going, but he prays that God will bring the evil meant for him back on his attackers in verse 5. Let evil recoil on those who slander me. In your faithfulness, destroy them. If you've ever seen a boomerang work, with all the force you use to hurl that weapon, it comes back to you with a vengeance. David wants their attacks to miss the target, him, and hit them instead. Let their evil recoil on them. And in your faithfulness to me, David is saying, destroy them. You might wonder how David can pray for God to destroy someone. But keep in mind, David isn't praying for vengeance here. He's praying for justice. Jesus himself said, with the same mercy you judge others with, it will be shown to you. That's quite a lesson. You see, David wasn't out to get these people. Let's keep it straight. He had nothing against Saul, against them, or against the Ziphites. They were all after him for no reason. And instead of retaliating, David simply prays that they would be hung by their own noose. Finally, we come to the last two verses of the psalm. After his complaint about his circumstances in verses 1 through 3, and his confidence in God's ability to save him in verses 4 through 5, he arrives at his commitment to worship in verse 6. I will sacrifice a free will offering to you. I will praise your name, Lord, for it is good. You have delivered me from all my troubles, and my eyes have looked in triumph on my foes. David gets his eyes off people here and on to God. And in doing so, David is able to look forward to the time when he'll be out of this trial. I will sacrifice. David looks to the future, and that's confidence right there. I will sacrifice a free will offering to you. David forces himself here to picture what it will be like when he's gotten through this tough time. He will praise God's name, for it is good. And I love how David can lift himself out of his circumstances here and praise God even when things aren't going good in the present. In fact, there's reason to believe that David isn't out of the woods yet, literally. But he thinks to himself about the time he will be, and this sustains him and gives him a reason to worship at the bottom of his trial. And in verse 7, David takes it a step further. He begins to speak like it's in the past tense, as if this trial now is all behind him. You have delivered me from my troubles, and my eyes have looked in triumph on my foes. God did come through for David. Evil attacks blew back on his enemies like a ricocheted bullet, neutralizing the threat they were to him. Think about it. Much of our problems that loom so big today will probably be nothing a month from now, maybe a week from now, maybe even a day from now. What a difference a day makes. 24 little hours. And if we choose to look ahead through the dark lens of our circumstances, we start to feel all doom and gloom. But David here looks through the lenses of worship, and God's faithfulness paints a picture of triumph. And that's how this psalm's in. A psalm that began with a complaint, but course corrected by placing confidence in God, and finally committing to worship when things aren't all worked out just yet. 7 short verses and 3 powerful strategies to get him through. Complaint, confidence, and finally, commitment to worship. And maybe that's where you are today, possessing a valid complaint, yet confident in God and committed to worshiping him in the midst of it. And although it hurts, it's not such a bad place to be, because you know God is faithful. He will rescue you according to his great name.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.